All right, Trey, you, the daughter, and Santa Claus. Now, before we get into this story, let me be very clear in a PSA to the people. We understand that a certain conversation around this time of year can be complex. If you are around your children and you know your children and you know that they could hear something on the radio that might freak them out when we discuss certain things about North Poles and Mr. Claus, you know what I'm saying? Act accordingly, because we're about to get into this discussion and it's Trey leading the discussion.
Especially this story.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, Trey, go ahead.
Thankfully, my kids have taken my wife's love of Christmas over my curmudgeonly Christmas opinions. They really do enjoy this time of year. They were excited to put the tree up this weekend, some of the around-the-house decorations. I've promised the kids that we are going to put up Christmas lights this weekend, which they're also stoked about. But it's my wife who has been more insistent on perpetuating the Santa Claus narrative. Not that I would be going the other direction necessarily, but I'm not forcing it on them like Justine. And really, let's be honest, popular culture does for young children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, over the weekend, Justine took the kids on a play date where they met up with another mom and her two kids that are around Vivian and Calvin's ages. And Vivian, at this point, is 6, and the friend that she was meeting up with, also around 6. Well, at some point later on that day, this was on a Sunday, so Sunday night, as we are sitting around the table eating dinner, Vivian says, unprovoked, her friend's name. Let's go ahead and change the name up so we don't get in trouble for that one once again. She says, well, Bertha told me that Santa Claus isn't real.
Mm. Your kid's 6, right?
6.
Okay. Sometimes it can happen that early. All right, go ahead.
I agree.
It can. Doesn't always. But...
I agree.
Yeah.
Radio's off, parents, if your kids are in the car. I found out at 6 and ruined it for my 4 and 2-year-old brothers.
Of course you did.
So she says this. I look at Justine. Justine's mom is over. Give Justine's mom a look. And then Justine responds, well, how did you respond to her? And she says, well, I said that's not true. And then she said the tooth fairy's not real either. And that it's just your mom and dad that are giving presents and giving you money for your teeth. And so I said, well, Vivian, how do you feel about that? I'm like, what do you believe? And she says, well, I believe that she's not right in that they don't celebrate Christmas because his family is, they're Jewish.
Uh-huh.
She's like, they don't celebrate Christmas. She doesn't really know.
I see.
But she didn't invoke the BK thing. She just said they don't celebrate Christmas, so she doesn't really know.
The BK thing.
I'm sorry. I'm hearkening back to the previous midday show where I used to be able to have more fun with that because my co-host was Jewish. Yep. And now I just feel a little bit anti-Semitic even bringing it up. But
I feel like I should pick up Judaism just to make you feel better.
Oh, that would be great.
Okay, I'll look into that.
Or Islam. So she says she just doesn't know what she's talking about because she doesn't celebrate Christmas. So we're like, okay, fine, a little bit weird. Later that night, after the kids are in bed, Justine and I are hanging out on the couch. I'm like, you realize that even if she still believes this year, this time next year, if she's talking about Santa Claus, she's the one who's lying to us. We're no longer the ones that are lying to her. She's lying to us at that point. She will no question know for sure next year. So fast forward to last night.
Mm-hmm.
So a day later, once again, around the table, eating dinner. Dad cooked breakfast for dinner.
Nice.
Eggs, bacon, made some sandwiches.
Bacon and eggs for dinner rocks.
It is such a great combination for dinner. Once again, unprovoked, Vivian says, Bertha said that Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy aren't real. And this time, my 4-year-old Calvin chimes in. Well, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Santa and the Tooth Fairy are both real. I'm like, glad you said that, Calvin, because I'm having a hard time perpetuating this lie because she's starting to sound more and more convinced about it.
Team Calvin's on board.
So rather than double down on the lie, I ask Vivian, because Vivian's in an elementary class in her Montessori, which she's the youngest of. So she's six, and I think there's kids as old as like 10 or 11 in that class. So you know they're in on the little secret.
There's all kinds of discussions going on.
So I asked her, because her stating it this time, it sounded more like she is shifting to the other side. So I asked her, have you been asking the kids in your class about this? And she said, well, no. And I said, well, okay, well, how do you feel about this? And she said, well, I think that she was wrong about that. I think there is Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. But she said that mom and dad do everything that we're told that Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy do. And I said, look, Vivian, your friend is free to believe what she wants to, and you're also free to believe what you want to. You believe what you want to right here. I'm no longer, if she asks me straight up, is Santa Claus real? I'm no longer in a position to tell her, yes, Santa Claus is real. And I've spoken with Justine about this, and she said that would really upset her if I were to do that. But at this point, she kind of knows, Chad. So what do I do here? If my daughter asks me,
right,
is Santa Claus real? I am less than a year away from having to explain a bald-faced lie that I'm telling her sometime over the next month. So what the hell do I do?
The question I would have asked along the way is, why would she say the exact same thing at the table two nights in a row? Is that something she normally does?
She's very curious, very inquisitive. Here's the other thing about her, though. She is really bright for six. And I'm not saying that as a biased parent. We have heard that from enough teachers who, by the way, the teachers of her previous school kicked this other girl out of the school because she wasn't cutting it.
Bertha?
Yeah. Wow. Bertha wasn't cutting it educationally, so she got booted from the school. She basically was told, like, this needs to be the last couple of months your kid's at this school. Go ahead and send her to public school so that she can fit in with the rest of the flock.
There's no telling what else Bertha was spreading around the school.
Hey, Bertha says the world is flat. Are we going to let that?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So Vivian, she's really smart and she's really intuitive. She puts things together. So I think she is starting to figure this out now. And so, but there's a delicate balance here because I don't want to continue straight up lying to her about things, but I don't know if I want her to ruin it for her 4-year-old brother just yet.
You got two fronts to fight on here, and you just name both of them. Technically, there's three fronts. Front number one, most important, you do not want to upset your wife. I, too, am married to someone that wanted that spirit to be alive as long as possible.
And I get it, by the way, because part of my soul did die when I realized that even if she doesn't get it right now, a year from now, that magic is gone.
Yeah, that is important for cold, cynical bastards like you and me to realize, and the fact that you have is a good thing. That's healthy. That's battle number one, is your wife, to be happy. Battle number two, I kind of like the way you're fighting it, discussing it with her and allowing her to express whatever she wants and saying, hey, you have the right to believe what you believe. They have the right to, that's probably a good path. But the maybe most important one is that it's not an only child. She's not the youngest. You have a younger child that you want to, especially because of your wife, you need to preserve it for your younger child as much as you can. That is critical.
Yeah.
That should be one of the big focuses of what's going on here. So as much as your cynical nature would tell you to, I don't think there needs to be a big, massive moment on this discussion with a 6- and 4-year-old. I don't.
So I've proposed this for Justine. If she really wants to continue to try and push this narrative to keep it alive for at least this Christmas, if not next Christmas too, that on Christmas Eve, I dress up as Santa Claus.
Oh, good Lord.
Have her wake the kids up in the middle of the night saying, guys, I think I hear Santa Claus, and sneak down the stairs and catch me as I'm like putting toys down at the fireplace to where then they have visual evidence that Santa Claus is real.
Mm. I think it'd be great if that happened and then she like tackled you in the living room or kicked you in the crotch or something.
So the thing that's giving me the biggest pause right now is Calvin gets spooked really easily. I feel like Calvin would see this and would freak the bleep out.
If he had a bat nearby, would he swing it at you? Would he like knock you out?
Probably not, but he would cry like crazy. It would be full-blown tantrum.
You could do a picture. There's a lot of ways to do that. I've been a part of some of these things. There are things you can do inside the house. There's things you can do outside the house. There's things you can do with food. There's things you can do to sort of create the image, I don't even know if you have to go that far. It's just to me, something could screw up there. Like something could mess up where those, because they have they're so intuitive of who you'd have to really bulk up, puff up.
I could just stuff pillows under the costume.
Right. You'd have to make sure it was a nice get up and your face was all covered, because the last thing you'd want is that weird confusion going on. So I would say, considering the age of your kids, you gotta keep it going as long as your wife thinks it's acceptable.
Okay, if we're gonna keep it going, then I probably have to dress up like Santa Claus.
I don't know if you
on
do.
Christmas Eve.
Somebody says don't do that! !!
Should I hire somebody to walk around on the roof over their respective bedrooms?
I'll do it.
When we're putting them to bed. Ooh,
dude, $10. I'm already fat too, so it's perfect.
Wow. Wow.
That would help out, because that means that mom and dad are with them as we spy on Santa Claus putting gifts down.
Now, Pika Claus, I'm way in on that. Pika Claus would be awesome. This says, my fiance's son will be 8 in February. He still believes. Then again, he's a single child. We're just lucky and cherish the fact that he still believes. Trey, I like the saying, if you don't believe, you don't receive.
Ouch.
No, don't do that. Don't do that one. But
definitely can't do that.
But see, that's the thing. I have an only child, so it's a different discussion. Again, the fact that you had the younger one, like I remember going through, like you talked about ruining it for younger kids. I remember there were issues with younger cousins or whatever. And I always worry about the youngest child. The youngest kid in a group is who I'm always focused on now with that story.
Yeah.
Because along the lines, I've been the youngest child, or I've been in charge of making sure the youngest child has a great Christmas, or now there's like nieces, nephews, and stuff like that where we're going, ooh, so which side of the discussion are they on? Oh, wait a minute, he's 10, or she's 9, or he's 8. Like they're still hanging on. You kind of have to
respect youngest
that.
Sibling or the younger sibling is already so desensitized to things as is.
Yeah. What
because you put so much time and effort into that first one. As soon as the second one comes along, one, you're used to the process, but two, there's two of them. So your time inevitably gets split up.
Somebody says, I'll eat the cookies. You're eating the cookies. Always a good way. Always a good way to go.
Sam, what are your favorite cookies?
Chocolate chip, bro. Easy, simple.
We taught our daughter about the spirit of Santa Claus. We're blessed enough to be able to bring our daughter gifts, but he still loves her and watches over her. She's 27 now and still, air quotes, believes. There you go, right?
Yeah, I'm probably not going to go that route.
Spirit of Santa? Okay, hang on. This is a great start to a text. Don't put a physical body in the house. Leave evidence of presence. It's a lot better. Presence, like your present, footprints, fuzz from the jacket, etc. That's something that is definitely possible. My father-in-law kept it going because my wife is an older sibling. He did do you have a fireplace?
Yeah.
He did the boots in the ashes.
Okay.
Thing. And apparently that was really effective. I had a year where I inadvertently, didn't even mean to do this, but I inadvertently put, air quotes, sleigh tracks in my yard. Didn't even mean to do it.
Oh, wow.
But that's what my kid assumed, and it was fantastic.
Wait a second. Do they sell reindeer carcasses?
Oh, my God. I'm going to go with no, and if they do, you don't want to be near that van. No. What do you don't know?
What if Santa's reindeer fell out and they had to continue the journey, but he was going to come back to pick up Dancer?
That's how you want to keep the spirit alive, to say Blitzen's gone? What? That's the sickest logic I've ever heard in my life.
Wasn't a very good idea.
We want to keep the spirit of Christmas alive. In an unrelated story, Comet has died. Comet's dead on our porch, honey.
What? Come on, man.
Okay, how about this?
What?
We know that the virtual Santa thing this year has put a lot of little people out of jobs, seasonal work.
Here we go.
Is normally helping them pay their bills. What if I hire a couple of little people to, like, come hang out on the 23rd or 24th and just talk to the kids and make sure they've been really good this year?
But like
for when Santa comes a little bit later
like
on.
Talk to them like they would be the elves talking to them? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You're going to get small people to interrogate your children for Christmas, is what you're saying.
That's a really interesting idea. Wouldn't you have to? Now, then you'd really have to sell the Santa thing at some point, wouldn't you? There'd have to be a payoff.
I think I've swung too far in the other direction of really trying to sell this lie. I just need to tell her what's going on and not to ruin it for her brother. Otherwise, she won't get Christmas this year.
Going all the weird routes, the dead reindeer. What if? Can I go to the mall and find an old lady to be Mrs. Claus? She'll sit on the. What do you do? What? Come on, man. I just want to know what I can't wait to hear tomorrow. What your daughter says at the dinner table is now my favorite thing.
Oh my gosh! Text line, good sports talk, guys. Go back and listen to hours one and two of the podcast. Lots of sports talk there. This is something that needed to get out, and I appreciate everybody who is responding right now, offering up solutions.
Yes, yes, indeed. Probably use red and green Skittles. I'm all for red and green Skittle usage. Whatever you need to do there.
We'll probably go red and green M&Ms, but that's a good idea.
What are they suggesting? Is that a reindeer poop thing? Is that what they're saying? Come on, boys, get some rain. Yeah, they're saying reindeer.
That's not a bad idea.
Reindeer poop discussion.
I will also help out in that department.
Dear God. I've done the like carrots outside. Leave the carrots for the reindeer, and then you leave bits of carrots outside.
Okay.
So
we've
done the combo of here's the stuff for Santa, here's the stuff for the reindeer. We leave the note that says these carrots are for the reindeer, and we do one for each reindeer.
I feel like if we're going carrot pieces, we just go carcass.
The fact that your mind goes from one to the other is terrifying. I'm putting out perfectly innocent carrots. You're trying to find some black market dead reindeer guy.
It doesn't even have to be a reindeer. It can probably just be a regular deer. They're 6 and 4. They're not going to know any better.
What are you, John Goodman in The Big Lebowski? You want a dead reindeer? You want a dead Donner? I'll get you a dead Donner.
They think somebody the size of John Goodman's fitting down our chimney to begin with.
I can get you a dead reindeer, dude. You want a dead reindeer? I'll get you one. I will bring it to your house tonight. Oh, my God. If you can't
it's Christmas on Shabbos this year.
You know what, Trey? I'll just say it's how we'll end it. If you can't tell the difference between the carrots and the carcass, you're going to need to let your wife be in charge of this whole thing. You are going to need to be taken out of this one.